Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On every announcement.
I know, right? It just feels like a bigger game when Ian Eagle's doing it versus Ryan Rucco. Eagle and Grant Hill, his game one was what, Rucco and Richard Jefferson. It just sounds like a Tuesday game when it's those two. No offense, but when Ian Eagle's there, it's like, I know it was a Tuesday, but it's like, okay, here we go. This is big time. It's like Final Four.
You're very, very picky. Because then when somebody's calling it, like Kevin Harlan's calling the game a certain way, you're like, I'm wrong.
Tone it down.
This is a November game.
Back off.
Yeah, I love Kevin Harlan now. Now's a great time for Kevin Harlan. Great time.
That was John Smoltz energy at the end though. And the Mavericks tied up, even up the series.
The Clippers shoot 37% from the field. Everyone last night was talking about 90s basketball. Luka, humongous down the stretch, just taking over the game with the alpha energy. And who cares about Kawhi's return? We're tied at one.
Just like we all thought, down the stretch, biggest key. Boy, Kyrie and Luka defense and PJ Washington knocking down big buckets for you. That's exactly how we thought it'd go. This was ugly for a lot of the game, but man, that fourth quarter where we've talked about this a lot, specifically with PJ. I know that if PJ Washington's going to make shots, they're going to be really difficult to beat. But I mean, down the stretch, I was worried, like, okay, are Luka and Kyrie going to be gassed down the stretch? And are some of these shots going to start falling short? And they didn't. They still had enough left in the tank, came up with some big shots. Maxey with that big three. And PJ Washington doing what he did. It was just, I was a little concerned when there was like 10 minutes left and they were down six. And that six, just looking at it with the energy they had shown and how much I wondered they had left in the tank, I was like, that six feels like 15 now.
Especially with the way points were at a premium. I mean, and the flip side, when they got up by that, it felt like it was a 10-12 point lead.
I know they did it in the regular season, but it's great. I feel great in knowing that they can and will do it in the playoffs. Now it's just like begging your kid to do their homework. Like, please, please, can you give that effort again? Please, can you do it? Because Jason Kidd afterwards was like, you know, this is going to happen, and it has happened in the past where they're going to target Luka. We asked him, it's like asking kindly, like, can you do your job? And Jason Kidd's actual quote was, we asked him in the past to participate, and tonight he did. And Luka's like, yeah, you know, I just got to stay locked in. That's how we should be playing the way we did in the second half. And it's like, please, please, can you try to give some effort on the other side of the floor? And it happened yesterday.
Yeah, and not just yesterday. I mean, it feels like it's happened really the last 3 months of the season. Like, he really does seem like there aren't a bunch of plays where he's taken off on the defensive side of the court anymore. There wasn't a whole bunch of whining last night to the officials. There was locked in, ready to go, ready to play, and it was a dogfight. It was one of these ones where I didn't feel like it was just awful offensive performance from both sides. I mean, I felt like it was genuinely both teams were kind of locked in defensively, and
I did too.
And Dallas came up big in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's the key, like, to figure out, was it great defense or was it bad offense? And you know, you can argue whether the 90s was great defense or bad offense. Yeah, I didn't think it was necessarily bad offense last night. It was a slower pace. You know, games generally go to a slower pace in the playoffs. And teams pick up defense. They pick it up.
I will say, like, Luka's always got such a – we always hear about, like, Luka with the pacing.
Methodical.
And, and the way that he has a command of defense. Like, it does look like they're doing things that are frustrating him and confusing him defensively. Like, well, I do think the Clippers are playing really well defensively, too.
His mindset last night, though, was, like, I'm going to keep the basketball and I'm going to fire it up from three again. He took 12 threes in game one. He took 14 threes last night. And I was wondering, the MJ question, you going to get others involved? You going to get others going? Nope. Bobby, you said it was going to be a nope, and that's what it was. He held it. He shot it just last night. He shot actually the same percentage as game one. Like, the numbers are almost identical. He shot 42% on 26 field goals in game one. He shot 42%. He was 11 for 26 in both games. Yeah. But last night, he was like, nope, I'm going to shoot, and I'm going to score, and I'm going to hold this damn thing.
Man,
he did have 9 assists, but I felt like the ball stuck with him. But as we were talking about yesterday, our reaction to it is going to be, well, did they go in or not? And did they go in at the right times? And last night they did, whereas game one, a lot of garbage time stuff.
Yeah, people were
– a lot of Dak points.
People hitting back at me yesterday with like, you know, Jordan didn't get other people involved. He just shot like crazy. And I'm like, this is pretty well documented. Like, Jordan – After Phil got there, the whole thing was, hey, you better get guys involved.
No, we romanticized that John Paxson Lakers series so much.
Jordan's also a shooting guard.
Yeah, it was totally different.
Yeah, but he didn't go in, like, initiating offense. Michael Jordan was still gunning. Like,
of course.
He was not the distributor, like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get random moments he would.
The whole point of the triangle offense is the ball does not run through him. And like, that was the whole point of the triangle.
And do you know what they said about the triangle?
That the triangle was Kobe and Jordan.
The triangle was, like, good for, like, the first, you know, 14 seconds of the shot clock. Right. And they're like, here, Mike, go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's because, you get into your offense, and then if it breaks down and it's not ready, nothing's working, then you've got to get the ball into the hands of your top guy.
Yeah. But never could you have told me that the top headline on ESPN, the number one story, Luka leads way with defense as Mavs even series. And I don't think you could have told Tim McMahon that either, as he's throwing out all the next-gen stats. Again, lowest field goal percentage of the season for the Clippers. They shot 2 of 17 from the floor when Luka was the primary defender. You'll never get these numbers again, so soak it in. LA missed all 11 shots that Luka contested. The second most field goal attempts contested without allowing a make in a playoff game over the past 5 years. James Harden had 28 in game one, was the player that Luka defended the most. Yesterday, he was only 1 of 5 from the floor when guarded by Doncic. All these numbers are being thrown out there. Allowed 0.76 points per possession as an isolation defender, which ranks in the 83rd percentile in the league. But last night, it was a humongous storyline, and Jason Kidd talked about it.
Yeah, I think his defense has been great, you know, this whole series, understanding that we know that they're going to put him in every pick and roll. And a couple years ago, we saw this, and, you know, he's made, you know, understand that we had to tell him to participate, but I think he's participating at a high level on both ends. We need him on the offensive end, but we also need him on the defensive end, and he's been able to do that here in the first two games.
Yeah, you could tell early on, like, he made, like, two plays. I tweeted Luka D, which I didn't mean the double meaning. But I was like, man, he had a rejection. He had a rejection from behind, and then he had, like, he took on the defensive challenge in a one-on-one isolation play, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, he's trying to set a little bit of a tone. That was the tone. That was the effort. That was the energy I was hoping for in game one, and he rectified it last night.
Yeah, and I think everybody in general, you know, we talked about how the entire roster felt like they came out flat against the Clippers. Like, it was almost like they just were like, oh, okay, no Kawhi. Well, we got this. We just can show up and roll the ball out here, and we'll beat them by 15. And last night it was everybody locked in, everybody participated. I mean, before Gafford gets hurt, Gafford had still looked like he was struggling a little bit, which he said after game one. He had talked about basically like, oh, moment might have been a little big. You know, it's a little, you don't get these type of opportunities very often. But I did love that last night, again, we talk about Derek Lively stepping up, coming in, you know, playing well. To me, it was just everybody came in woke him up a little bit. I think that that first game showed it was kind of a, you know, smacked him in the face, woke him up a little bit, and they were more engaged. And that fourth quarter, just the ability to still have enough freshness in your legs to be able to finish that off. And thank God for Norman Powell being awful.
I love the first play of the game, trying to go to Gaffer, get him a point.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, that's what, I mean, that was probably by design. Get it in there. See if you can get something going. You see the ball go in, all that crap, you know, yada, yada, yada. Didn't work, but they got a point. You know, they got a basket out of it on a rebound. But, I mean, I love that approach.
Yeah, we mentioned Reggie had said something during game one where he's like,
God, he's so bad.
Who?
Reggie Miller.
No.
Talk about it.
No, Reggie had a two.
Reggie, I was like, don't quote anything Reggie Miller
says. Reggie had said something during game one where he had talked about, like, you know, when you're throwing up the lob and it just can't even get that, your pick and roll, like, lob game to work, which is your bread and butter, everything should be easy there. Like, that shows that it might be time to pack it in. So it was comforting. I think you're right. Like, they wanted to start out just like, all right, let's find a rhythm. Let's find some of our typical comfort shots and see if we can get those things rolling right now. And Luka definitely was looking for his comfort shots earlier, throwing up as many shots as he did. But overall, I think it's just the ability they showed on defense. Like, that's going to be – that's the biggest reason why I think everybody feels like this is a legitimate shot to make a run in this postseason. Is because the way that defense played in the last, back quarter of the season or whatever it was, if you can get that here in the postseason, when the game slows down, when the possessions become fewer, and when the pace is slower, you've got a real opportunity.
And they've been a big clutch team all season. Remember last year, and we've had problems talking about this team with Jason Kidd drawing up plays, final 2 minutes, it's going to be a disaster. They look lost, and last night they got those clutch performances, obviously from the big two. But Maxi Kleba, who, man, when Maxi throws that thing up, it literally looks like he's throwing that thing up. And I'm like, I'm rooting for the guy. He seems like a good dude. I've heard nice stories behind the scenes. But you know that his confidence has been an absolute Six Flags ride over the past 3 years. And when one goes in, I'm like, yes, that's good for Maxi's confidence. That's good for the way Maxi's going to feel. And he chased down an offensive rebound as well.
Wouldn't know about that. Very scared of roller coasters.
Are you?
I'm not scared.
Mr. Fast and the Furious?
Yeah.
Mr. Drive 120?
See, I'm in control. I'm in a car. I have a hood. It's the whole open air thing, stomach dropping out of my balls, you know, everything.
There you go. That's next bet payoff for him. He's got to go ride Titan at Six Flags.
not a chance. Like, I'll quit.
Oh, that's definitely a bet payoff.
That's your number one fear of it. Will you go on, like, a Ferris wheel? Is it a height thing, too?
I was in line at the state fair 2 years ago, whatever year that I didn't get paid for my big chicken guy. So we were in line for the Ferris wheel. We got up there.
Just wait till the firehouse tour. Making up to you.
We got in there.
Friday.
Plenty of pimento cheese.
We got to the line, and I got to the front. I was like, yeah, I'm not going. And then, like, Sarah and
that's enclosed, though. You said if
Mackenzie went up and they went into the Peyton's Mackenzie.
You were with Peyton's girl?
Come on, dude. The other one.
Man. Would you do the swings? Those big swings at Six Flags that go like 200 feet?
No, there? I had a media day at Six Flags when they opened up this one swing thing, and I looked right at it. And I was like, you know what? That looks like a green lawn chair. I'm not getting up on that thing with no strap. But yeah, I didn't go in the Ferris wheel. Now, looking at it this way, it was enclosed. I should have done it. It's not like rocking like that, you know, to the Vegas one. But, it's a height thing. Yeah, height thing.
Voice of the Mavs, Chuck Cooperstein, a friend of the show, tweeted, in 44 years of Mavs basketball, I don't think there's ever been a team that defended with the passion this team did tonight, and that includes the 11 season. Wow. In 44 years of Mavs basketball, that was the best defensive effort. And he said, I know many of you have made up your mind about the Mavs head coach. He designed a defensive masterpiece in game two.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I mean, look, Coop is a historian, so he would know more than I would, more than anybody. He has a memory that, I don't have that memory anymore.
Did he tweet that at, good reference. Did Chuck tweet that at his son who, like, kills Jason Kidd?
I don't know.
Like, the father-son back and forth.
Man. Jeffrey.
Would Chuck try to assassinate his son on social media publicly for the entire world to see?
Chuck will argue with the wall. If the wall talks back and brings him a point, Chuck will absolutely have that argument with the wall. There is no doubt. But yeah, he'll go. Jeffrey is a savage, man. Jeffrey will go at it.
877-881-1053 to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Bobby told us that we would be interested in talking about this Dallas Cowboys press conference. Let's see if he was right. Did Jerry Jones gaslight the hell out of you yesterday with the pre-draft discussion on the Home of America's team? That is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What an event that was. Bobby is fist pumping for it right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Raf James Choppy, and we have our Cowboys Insider along with Peyton and Rai in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The pre-draft press conference for the festivities tomorrow night. We will take over all the different Pluckers locations and, of course, the coverage. Hosted by Zach Wilchuk, Bobby Belt, Brian Broaddus, amongst others. And I have Gaslight, Sales, Sunning, Cap, D-Line, all written down. RJ Choppy, where would you like to start with what happened yesterday on this station?
Oh, I just think you start right from the beginning.
Okay.
Because they, I don't know if this was a planted question. I have no idea. Probably not. But this was right from the get-go. They had a narrative they wanted to get across.
Couple of them.
And Jerry went right to it.
We're very proud of our personnel. Very proud of this roster. Very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute, we're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. And I do principally because of what Steven said. We will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left and are off the roster, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. And so we do feel good about these guys coming in. Is it ambiguous? Of course it is. It's ambiguous if you had a veteran out there. He could get hurt in training camp and you not have him again. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting. But to answer your question, I think I'm answering it. But
here we go.
The question is, in my mind, about all of this, how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in.
Two.
All in.
Three.
We're all in with these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this draft.
Five. Now let me say this.
Defiant.
That's exactly where I was gonna go. In listening to this, because like a loser, I went back and watched too. In listening to this and reading, it sounded defiant in my opinion. In going back to watch, and Ryan does a tremendous job on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. There's a little bit of a smile.
Of course.
There was a little bit. It viewed and watched a lot more lighthearted than what I thought listening to it originally, in my opinion.
Defiance can be like from a trolling position though.
Yeah.
Like when I walk in here,
that was trolly. I mean, the gaslighting that started trending throughout DFW all came from that. They know.
Yeah.
They know everything that's been said. They're keeping track of everything. And he was not going to go up there yesterday and say, I kind of messed up. I shouldn't have said that. He is going to make us reconsider whether we need to change the English language. That is how damn stubborn that man is. He is not going to bend off of it. He's going to make you. I'm sitting there listening to a lot of this, and Amanda's like, what is he saying? What is he saying? And I did this with Cuban early on while doing this show. I'm like, is he so smart and I'm so dumb that I'm just not understanding the language and the verbiage? And that's what I sometimes think with Jerry. Or is it like, no, this is why the Cowboys haven't won a lot in the past 25 years or won anything of significance? Because I have Amanda, generic sports fan, saying, huh? And I'm like, man, he's talking over my head because he's a genius. He's brilliant. But it was a lot more lighthearted, in my opinion, watching it. They did want to get their messages across. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. I think two things that were evident in that first statement.
Yeah.
Is he wanted to get across is that, one, he wants to show they're not cheap. That it wasn't, we're not cheap. We're not being cheap here.
Yeah.
And two, like he always does, every single year,
yep,
he wants to boost the roster.
Yep.
He wants to boost the appearance of the roster.
This is a roster that we think can get over the hump.
Every single year, they try to boost the roster
good job,
so they can point the finger at somebody else. And it's never at the players. They never point the finger at the players because they pick the players. So they're not going to do that.
The other thing that was very prevalent in that clip, the youth. That's all they kept talking about, Bobby, is the young players that have to step up. And Mike McCarthy's like, I'm not even talking about the players that are going to be drafted. It is the players, the no-names that are on this roster. A lot of pressure on Will McClay in the draft. A lot of pressure on the younger guys on this team.
Yeah, which is why when we've talked about the defensive tackle question, why I've been like, you can't afford to do anything with defensive tackle early in the draft. Because you just picked Mozzie Smith. He's got to be better. They need Luke Schoonmaker to be better. They need Overshown to come up off of the injury. They need guys to click into place. They need guys to become, you know, who they picked them to be. And they're definitely leaning on that. But the all-in, he is so keenly aware of everything that's been said about it. If you wonder, like, do they hear you from the outside? Sometimes Cowboys fans are like, it's like they don't even hear us. Your evidence yesterday was they hear you.
Yeah.
They hear you so much more than a lot of other teams do, it feels like. And maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but Jerry heard it, and that was calculated. I'm going to drop this reference again.
Yep.
I'm going to say it over and over and over again to show you. That's why I say it's defiant. Even if he's smiling about it, he's defiantly saying to you, when he goes, all in, all in, all in. Like, he knows, like, I'll say it five more effing times.
Yesterday,
what are you
like,
going to do?
Made me consider a third possibility of what all in means. And I'm like, maybe he's talking about hardworking. Like, we're all in. We're working on the draft. I'm working at 2 a.m. on the extensions. We're working on these young players. We're working on I'm like, okay, maybe all in now. I know I'm guilty of overthinking it. We all are whenever Jerry speaks, because I don't even think he knew what he was necessarily saying. But I was like reconsidering. I'm like, okay, maybe now he's talking about just working hard.
Yeah, like maybe all in. Like if you're trying to draw an analogy and get a mental picture of what that may mean, you might look at like how Sean is going to work at Pluckers versus how Bassick is going to work at Pluckers for the draft coverage and go, one is all in and the other is an example of, you know, the control,
gosh.
Subject.
I'm fascinated to see what happens tomorrow.
I don't think I'm going to be in a good mood Friday at all. I thought today was going to be my worst day of the week with the Mavs ending it at midnight. No, I have a feeling it's going to be Friday. But I am going to get his money. I'm going to get a share of that money when he walks out early. Okay.
Get that TV money.
What do you say to fans, Jerry, that are upset that you haven't spent at all in the offseason?
Well, you can understand there is, I didn't just understand where we are with our cap at the Senior Bowl. That's something we live with and know, like I would understand everything financially around here. And so I'm, I think our structure and our involvement at every level that we are in our process of getting personnel is ideal for making good decisions. I know what it's like to make a mistake because I'm going to be living with it 10 years from now. I'm not just in here for a five-year session at GM and then gone. So I know what it's like to have to live with how you're doing. That bears on it.
So the intent of that answer was, in my opinion, all of you suggesting I don't know how the cap works and we don't know what we're doing and questioning our money guy, that's insulting. That's not the case. I didn't just read about the salary cap at the Senior Bowl. And then yesterday, Bobby, they talked about the credit card a ton. Yeah. Trying to explain how we're in this situation and what led up to it.
Yeah, which is the, I mean, that's the analogy we've drawn here when we talk about it, is that they've been living off of credit cards. And that's basically what Jerry said. Like, we've been living off the credit card for a while. I think what's fascinating there is, again, you hear Jerry, how often has Brian made the point of like, well, the Cowboys don't feel the same sort of pressure that other people do because Jerry's the GM, Steven's the personnel guy. Like, they don't have to worry about their jobs being on the line the way other people in the building do because they own the team and they're not going to fire themselves. And that's always been considered here's a luxury you have. No, Jerry turns that around yesterday and Jerry goes, you kidding me? Because I can't be fired, I have to live with these decisions for 10 years.
Yeah.
I have to, these people get to move on from this job. I have to stand here and painfully be reminded of mistakes I made 10 years ago as GM. That is far greater a burden than it is a comfort that my job is not at risk.
It's the burden of ownership. It's the, hey, listen, this is my money on the line. This is my risk on the line. But it's also like, I think he also was just trying to show how still in the weeds he is with all this.
Socks like, and jocks.
He's trying to,
you felt like he was sunning us?
That's where I felt like he was sunning us. First of all, you don't know what you're talking about. I know the salary cap, okay? I am in this. Yeah. I didn't learn about this at the Senior Bowl, kids. Yeah. Second of all, y'all think that Will's running the show, that I'm not running, that Steven's... No. I'm still running the show. I know what the salary cap is.
I'm not ready for...
I got to live with it. I got to live with all the rights and the wrongs.
And I'm not ready for the extensions.
Yeah.
The most fascinating part to me, though, was what he said. And I thought the media did a nice job yesterday. I would have loved for a follow-up to this.
You may be working on it.
Stop it. I should have said it better. This is Jane Slater, who got as much praise as I've seen her get on social media in a long time. Bobby got Jane for 7:20 this morning live on the show. This is her asking, why haven't you gotten the extensions done early?
You may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 a.m. sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action.
Mm.
It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn up field with it, and then he's still got a pitch left. So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem.
What the heck? Does that mean about evaluation, about options, about why these players aren't signed? That, to me, is the most fascinating question and part of the press conference. Let's try to figure out what that means. Back to the Mavs evening the series. Jane Slater, they're in the Expressway. A Texas Rangers 4-ticket giveaway, all coming up for the 6 a.m. Club right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mavs even the series. We'll get to it at 7 o'clock. A Rangers ticket giveaway during the Expressway. And Jane Slater live to talk about her back and forth with Jerry and Stephen Jones. It certainly was not with Mike McCarthy, because McCarthy did not speak until 11 minutes into this press conference yesterday on the station.
Got like two answers in.
11. Now,
and he gave you 5-second answers, too. You
yeah, that's why he's
you know
not,
why? Because he never has the answers.
Jesus.
Well, here's my question. Because this would be, I have a theory, but I'm going to let Bobby say it. Just dig his hole deeper. Does McCarthy actually love it that he doesn't have to talk for the first 10 minutes? Or is it kind of a, are you serious right now? Like, I'm the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Or does he actually love it that he's ignored?
So, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I listened to the Ravens pre-draft press conference.
Why?
I don't know.
There had to be some choppy
reason. Yeah, there was a cut.
Analytics.
There was a Harbaugh clip I was looking for on the hip drop tackle. That was like a week ago.
All right.
And Harbaugh barely spoke. He talked less than McCarthy did in this one. It was all DaCosta.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's normal because nobody cares the head coach to say come draft time. He's not making the selection.
Yeah.
It's the general manager. Now some organizations like Denver, right, where Sean Payton's carrying the full autonomy stick may be different. But I think a lot of organizational structures, like I bet you if you were to do an Eagles one, it's probably mostly Howie.
Plus we hear from the head coach all the time.
All the time. And this is the GM's chance to like...
Well... In other cities, the GM's chance.
Yeah, this is the GM's chance to shine. That's so I think, obviously, yesterday, a lot of this going in, they knew was going to be about the all-in and the offseason.
Both? It can be both, right?
It can be both.
I think he genuinely loves...
I think the answer is both.
I think he genuinely loves not having to say... But then he's also, like anybody else who's probably gotten in that position, has a little bit of an ego and is like, F you guys too. You don't ask me anything. I know he doesn't want to, but he wants you to want to.
Here's what I want to know. My number one question from yesterday's press conference. When Jerry was asked by Jane, why didn't you sign the big three to give you financial flexibility to spend in the offseason? He said, we'd like to see more leaves fall. We'd like to see more action. It's called option quarterback. What does that mean? We'd like to see more leaves fall, because I'm starting to think this sounds like my theory, but I want to see what y'all think.
Okay, so I thought, I didn't understand. That was a little bit of word salad, right?
A lot.
There's a lot of word salad.
A lot of leaves.
So, like, when he said we let
Caesar.
The follow-up had to be, what does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean, more leaves fall?
So, leaves fall could mean three things. One, they want to see more guys on their team that they like, besides the big three, that they need to pay maybe, get paid to see where they're at. Two, other guys around the league that need to get paid at those positions get paid to see where they're at. And then the third one, which I don't think is the case, and I'd be really disappointed if the third one's the case, because that to me is like an indecisiveness. The third one is you don't know if you're sure about the players
right,
or the core which that is the one I would have the biggest problem with, because it's like, man, it's been 8 years with the quarterback.
Yeah.
What do you still need to see from CeeDee Lamb? What do you still need to see from Micah Parsons?
Yes.
Like, if you don't know by now, you're in the wrong business. Like, you should know. This is a decision-making business. You should be able to make those decisions faster. So I think it's other players around the sport needing to get paid.
Yeah, he's talking about market. He's talking about the rest of the market, which is hilarious because we have heard him say several times over the years, we don't make decisions based on what other teams do.
Yeah. Right.
Like, we make our own decisions. I don't care what this team made a decision on. We value it this. It doesn't matter that they value you at this. But the rest of the because you remember surrounding that, he was talking about, you don't think these agents for these players, like Steven had talked about, you don't think these agents talk to each other about their players? You don't think this goes on?
He's talking about the wide receiver agents as well, that Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb's agents are talking.
Yeah, and Jerry said, like, oh, you know what? It gets these agents madder than anything else is when I start talking to the players directly. So I can't even do that. And so I think what he was talking about was within the context of the full, like, 4 minutes where they were going around on this one. I think Jerry was talking about the idea of, like, I need to see what other shoes need to drop around this market.
I don't disagree with you guys, but I disagree with their premise.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with their business approach towards it. And the follow-up from Slater is, don't you worry about the numbers going up when you wait?
If you're asking me, do I worry about things going up? Not worry, but I probably have as good a feel as anybody living on this earth what the cap is going to be 3 years from now and 4 years from now, 5 years from now. I really do. We've got exceptional insight into where the cap is going to be, more so than a lot of people.
Jane, I can assure you if we felt like we could get a number that was a good number, because unfortunately these, as we all know, representatives talk to each other. You don't think the representatives of Jefferson and CD and Chase aren't talking, and you don't think they got their eye on something really big? Please. I mean, they're not ready to come in here. Same thing with Micah and same thing with Dak. I mean, it's just it's a little cat and mouse.
A lot of people are not happy with their attitude, tone. Back to Jane yesterday with the questions in the press conference. We'll ask her about it at 7:20.
Let's be honest. Jane is going to, when they feel like they've answered a question, Jane is going to go, yeah, but you did really. I think if anybody else asks the question the way Jane does, they get met with the same response. Like I don't think it was picking on Jane specifically.
Yeah. And
Jane,
by the way, I thought, and I texted Jane this when I was listening on the app before I even knew she was coming on. I was like, I thought she did a perfect job.
Yes.
She wasn't attacking. No. And I would say if she was. I've said plenty of things about Jane when we can't get her on. But I thought she did a perfect job. She was respectful with all of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think they had a nasty tone back towards her.
Not nasty, but they were getting pushed on a pressure point they don't like.
Yeah.
That you could tell. Steven sitting back like that, like, and you can't see it on the fan, unless you're watching the fan game, but his body language kind of sitting back, and again, him going, Jane, like just interrupting the middle, go, listen, this is the way, and he goes, please, you don't think they're doing that? They're clearly, it is a sensitive subject to them right now, and they feel the heat. If your goal as a fan this offseason has been to get them to sit up and notice and know you're unhappy, they know. Mission accomplished, they know.
I think what I'm trying to read between a lot of the leaves
That are falling.
I think Steven's trying to tell us that Lamb's number may be a little bit high right now. But where I disagree, RJ, and I know, and you were big on this last night in your email, where I disagree with Jerry, and how much it matters that he knows the cap. Here's what's going to happen. Jamar Chase is going to get his money. Justin Jefferson is going to get his money. And in no way is that going to help the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion. Here's the way it works. The next quarterback gets paid, and Dak Prescott is going to at least get that money. In the National Football League, the market gets reset, and it hurts you if you don't act beforehand. So what the hell am I missing about this? It's simple. When Jamar gets his, that's going to cost you more money. When Justin gets his, that's going to cost you more money. Now, is CeeDee going to leapfrog Justin? No, I don't believe so. But when the next quarterback gets his, if Dak Prescott wants to take it there, that's going to hurt and cost you. So I don't understand the waiting premise. I don't get it.
Yeah, I generally don't understand it either.
Now, I get in the other sports, maybe, but not in the NFL. It's leapfrog.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though, what quarterback is up besides Dak? So you have Goff. He's not going to reset.
Yeah.
Kirk already did his deal.
Yes.
So if you don't have another quarterback that you have to worry about, you could take this approach. Like, there's no Burrow. Burrow's already got his money. I mean,
you don't know what Lawrence is going to do.
No, but I don't think right now, I don't think you think Lawrence is going to get 60. Herbert probably, I mean, he didn't want a playoff game. He's going to get 60.
Herbert, you need to worry about. Yes. But and I mean, Herbert, like, Herbert got, what did Herbert get? Herbert's supposed to get in cash in 2025, $60 million. This year in cash, he's getting 56.
But you were talking about last night their approach towards these.
Approach towards. So I called him a money guy yesterday. I was like, "Help me understand this.
Well,
help me understand
the accountant that you called Turkey."
I did not call Turkey. Okay. No.
Is this the one who didn't get you your tax return?
No. No. I got it this year. Well, I haven't gotten it yet, but it's going to be deposited. Yeah. I'm going to get this year's before I get last year's.
Yeah.
But this guy handles all kinds of NFL coaches and college coaches' money. Right? He's a money guy.
Well.
And I said, "Help me explain this. Help explain this to me." And he said, "You'll drive yourself crazy if you don't have the financial literacy to understand. You'll just take my word for it. Every rich person wants to defer money. They would rather pay more tomorrow than
today.
That's just their philosophy, and they do this with in every aspect of their business. They would rather push the can down the road, you know, like the Dodgers are doing with Shohei. They're investing, so they're paying half, you know, basically 50, 60 cents on the dollar for his contract to 10 years now. It's a little different because it's not the same way, but they all prefer to defer. If they could just find a way to wait to pay till the 11th possible hour, they all will. It's the right thing to do, and it's just very difficult to understand if you're not somebody involved with the business world."
You talk about changing definitions, by the way. Like when you said, talking about him doing the all-in thing, where you're like, is he giving new meanings to words? Which, I mean, it's 2024. We give new meanings to all sorts of words. But the when you look at I thought it was funny that early on when he's like, I read something about all these bad contracts I shouldn't have given out.
Yeah.
How I should have waited. And which, by the way, that clearly means he read Gelkin's article at the Dallas Morning News.
And who was Gelkin referring to?
He talked about Zeke, Jalen, like these contracts that haven't panned out.
Because he said yesterday paying Zeke cost them Tyron.
He said, raise your hand. He was basically like, raise your hand. Anybody in this room thought I shouldn't have paid Zeke? And I was like, let's not revisionist history there. There were a lot of people that said, do not break on the Ezekiel Elliott deal. There were a lot of them. And if somebody says, raise your hand in 5 years on the people that said I shouldn't have paid Dak, there's going to be a lot of people who said you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of revisionist history. I just think that
he also said we're up here picking because we were the 24th best team in the NFL. That's why we're picking at 24.
That was a little backwards. But what he has set the tone for too, he has set the bar. He has said if someone gets 60, Dak, you get 61. If a receiver gets 36, CD, you get 37. That's what he told you yesterday. We got to wait for the leaves to fall. Okay, because what you're saying now, when you say that, you're telling me that the negotiating starts at whatever that gets set at. So, okay, you're fine setting the market on all three of these then. Okay. But it also, it felt very much yesterday like it was.
But why?
Boy, I don't so much pressure.
The strategy.
That I don't know. They were shifting. They may be setting up for a contract year type of layout. They felt like yesterday a lot of it was shifting towards, yeah, look, had a great supporting cast. You're not going to be able to, you know, keep the supporting cast. Dak's going to have to be better. Dak's going to have to, you know, need to do more of this. And it's almost like they're setting up, go show us what you can do.
Mavs in how many after last night, evening the series in L.A.? Let's talk about game two next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.